And so as chapter 14 opens, Jesus begins to explain how things are going to be in what I would call the New Testament church age. The days following what was happening right here, the door was being opened from the Old Testament to the New. And you say, when exactly did that happen, preacher? That ain't what I come to talk about this morning. Hear me right here. Here's what I know. I know that in John chapter number 1, we started out in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, we started out in the beginning. Then we went and talked about John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets. And then somewhere between John chapter number 1 and John chapter number 20 and Acts chapter number 1, we've transitioned into a new era, a new realm, if you will. And so Jesus in John 14 is in the midst of opening the door to what's to come. And that's what I want to give you just a little bit this morning, try to help you. John chapter number 14, we'll begin in verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Let's stand together all over the house. Stretch your legs for a moment as we reverence God's word. John chapter 14 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. Let not your heart be troubled. By the way, that's a powerful line specifically pertaining to Peter. You say, why? Because Jesus, if you go back one verse, you find out Jesus just got done telling Peter he was going to deny him three times. And then he says, but wait a minute, don't lose it yet. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, I need your help. God, I pray, Lord, that you would uphold me by the strength of your hand. God, that you would gird me about with truth and power, Lord, unction from on high. God, but boldness and liberty and compassion and all the things that are required, God, to do this job. And I'll give you glory for the results that come because they are of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with me this morning. The verse begins with a promise of comforting faith. Jesus says, I believe, hey, listen, you take it how you want to. I wasn't there. This didn't get caught on video. There's no footage of this. But I believe when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, he still had his eyes locked with Peter from telling him. Back up to verse number 38 and look what the Bible says. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And before he left eye contact with Peter, he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, hey, but hang on a minute. This thing is not over. There's some more stuff that's coming. Don't freak out just yet. Don't lose it just yet. Hey, listen, I believe those are the words that we ought to speak over the church in America in 2024 with everything going on, with all the outside influences. Hey, I'm talking about with the Trump election and the Biden economy. And listen, the environmental situations and the things that are going, hey, listen, all the liberalism and conservatism and republicanism and democratism and drug useism, hey, are y'all listening to me? And substance abuse and trouble and, hey, listen, fatherless homes, listen to me, and destruction and war on every side. I believe it'd be real good if the church of the living God had this attitude this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. He gave a promise of comfort and faith. Here's what he said. You believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. Hear me out right here. You may be in here this morning and you may say, I'm not a believer. I'm not a Christian. I've not trusted Christ as my Savior. Here's what I want to say to you this morning. Whether you realize it or not, you are already on your way to being such. Here's how I know. First of all, because you already believe in God. You say, no, I don't. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to me. You're lying to God. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here right now, every human being that's ever been born onto this this world can look around and see that this right here ain't all there is. There is a creator. Listen, scientists have tried for years and decades and years and decades to figure out how this thing all started. And all they've got is more question marks than they had when they started. And a bunch of theorizing and theories. I'm here to tell you, listen, the complexity of the nature of the world that we live in tells us that there is a God. You know that, and I know that. Matter of fact, I'd go as far as to say that you know which God is the right God. I can prove it to you. Because last time you hit your thumb with a hammer, you didn't say, "Oh, Allah." Oh, Buddha. No, you named off the name of the God of this Bible. Amen. You probably named off the name of his son, Jesus Christ. I'd go so far as to say, not only do you know that God is real, and you know which God is real, but I'd go so far as to say that you know what it takes to know him. Amen. You may not even realize it, but I do. You know why? Because you're in here this morning. Amen. And I would just say it like this. You've come to the right place. Somebody ought to say amen right there. You want to know God? Hey, look up in here. I ain't got it all figured out. I ain't perfect by no means. Hey, listen, I'm a sinner saved by grace, sold under sin. My flesh is only held captive by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, I am not the pinnacle of perfect Christianity, but I do know God.
Amen.
He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Say, why? Because let's stop at Malachi. Forget about the New Testament for a minute. I'm not talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, none of that. Hear me right here. Your Old Testament is the one that told us that Jesus was coming. Matter of fact, Moses told us that Jesus was coming. We didn't get three chapters into the book of Genesis before we were told that Jesus was coming. Over and over and over and over again, the Bible tells us that the Messiah is coming, the Son of God. Isaiah said he's going to be born of a virgin. Hey, listen, I don't know but one person who's ever been able to make that claim, and that is the one that was born of a virgin in the manger at Bethlehem. Are you listening to me? Everything about him was prophesied and foretold. He came and did exactly what he was supposed to do. The comforting promise of faith is that if you believe in God and you understand that there is a God, then the logical conclusion that you're going to have to come to is Jesus is the Messiah.
Amen.
See, I don't know about that preacher. Hey, listen, I come in here to prove it to you this morning. I don't know about that preacher. Well, hold on a minute. Here's the problem I have with your logic. It's currently May the 19th, is that right? Is it the 19th?
Yeah.
May the 19th, 2024 AD. Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. That means that it's been 2024 years since something happened that was so important that the entire world came together and said, hey, we need to start over with this whole time situation right now. We need to start counting right here. Because we need to commemorate this reality. And for 2024 years, I'm talking about empires have risen and fallen all over the world. Many generations of kings have come and gone. Countries have existed and gone out of existence multiple times over in that time frame. Are you listening to me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about America was discovered by the white man. He come over here and took this thing and we created what we got right now in that time frame. Well, I'd say just a little bit of peace that time frame. But it's still 2024. We're still counting by it. Say, preacher, I don't believe Jesus was the one. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Show me somebody else who's got his credentials.
Right. Amen.
Show me somebody else who's got his credentials. Listen. Here's another interesting fact about Jesus. I'm hung up right here, but I'm going to preach it till I'm done, Hunter. Just stay with me. Here's another interesting fact I would challenge you about Jesus. Pick a world leader, any world leader, any religious leader, any president, king, queen, nation ruler in any way over the course of time in history. In your mind, just think of somebody. King Tut from Pharaoh down on to Kim Jong-il. All right? Hear me out right here. Pharaoh, the pharaohs died a long time ago. You understand that? They gone. Mm-hmm. They ain't no pharaohs no more. But you go over to Egypt, and there's these big triangle things over there that they built. And inside of them things is a bunch of graves, tombs, shrines, really. And inside of those things are the remnants, the remains, the bones and what's left over of those great leaders. Whoever it is that you just thought of in your mind, whether they lived and died 3,000 or 4,000 years ago or 3 or 4 years ago, somewhere somebody has went and found the remains, the evidence of their death. Because once you die, you quit moving. That's deep right there, isn't it? You become extremely easy to find. Hear me right here. It's 2024. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
That means that by this measure, it's been around 2,000 years since Jesus died and was placed into a tomb. Amen?
Yep.
We know he lived. That's just fact. That's historical record. We know he lived.
That's right.
And if he lived, then he died.
Amen.
Amen. I got news for you. If you live, you die. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
2,000 years later, there's nobody ever come up and said, hey, check this out. I found one of Jesus' bones. Mm-hmm. Well, y'all think they ain't looked for him?
Sure.
There's nobody come up and said, hey, listen, I found a grave and Jesus is in there. You know what they did? They found a grave that didn't have nobody in it. And they said, hey, boys, let's use this one. Let's make this our tourist destination right here for people to come over here. Y'all understand the garden tomb? I don't know if that was his tomb or not. But I know, here's what I know about it. It's empty. There ain't no dead people in there. That's how they knew it was his. Somebody will say amen right there.
Amen.
Woo! Hey, they knew it was his because there wasn't nobody in there. There ain't never been nobody else that could be weighed by that measure. Hey, listen to me. If I went to the graves of my ancestors and opened up the doors and there wasn't nobody in there, I'd say somebody's done something amiss. But when they went looking for the tomb of Jesus, they looked for the one that didn't have a body in it. Woo! Hey. You say, why, preacher? Because he's alive.
Because
he's alive. You know what you call it when you ain't died, you're alive. Hey, man. Hey, the promise of comfort. Jesus said, hey, y'all, you believe in God, believe also in me. I'm the one. I'm the one that's coming. I'm the one that's here. And you can have faith in me.
Amen.
That's our comfort. Then I want to show you this. Man, I got to hurry up. Well, I don't have to. I saw this. I wrote this down. I thought this was real witty. You ready for this? The promise concerning comfort and faith. But then I want you to see this. The power of the construction foreman. Look what he said. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Can I ask you a question? Who you think built them mansions? It wasn't me. Amen. Hey, listen, look up in here. Don't nobody have creative power but one.
Hey, listen, I had never in my life been able to, well, I might have claimed it, but it wasn't true. There's never been a time in my life when I've been able to create something from nothing. I've only been able to take something and turn it into something else by manipulation. But God has the ability to create something from nothing, and He has created a place. Hey, listen to me, where His people are going to dwell with Him for eternity. And listen, I trust He has construction abilities. Somebody ought to say amen right there. If God, the one that hung the stars in the sky, that told the sun how to burn, that told the oceans where to cease, listen, that raised up the dry land, that created everything that ever was and is to come. If He's the one that's building the house, that's the house I want to go to. Amen. Hey, my mom and them been working on building a house. And they've been meeting with these builders and stuff. Hey, listen to me. And I know how it is. You go and you meet with them and you say, well, I like the way this one does this, but I don't like the way they do that. I like the idea they got about this, and I don't like the way they want to do this. I don't want the foundation to be set like that. I want it to be over here. I don't want to have to do it this direction. I'd rather have it this color or that. But I'm telling you, when you lay eyes on the construction of God, that city of New Jerusalem, I'm coming down out of heaven. I'm telling you, there won't be no questions. And He did it right. Listen to me. I am not, my eternity is not, listen, going to be spent in a place that might be lackluster. I'm going to the right place. Amen. Yep. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's an interesting little quip right there. You know why? Because He's the only one that's seen it. Amen. Hey, listen, if there was ever anybody that could describe it, it'd be Him. Because He's the only one that come from there and was going back to there. Hey, He's seen what it looks like. He said, I wouldn't lie to you if it wasn't all that. I'd tell you so. He said, I'm telling you, it's so, I can't even imagine in my mind what that even means. Inside of His house are many mansions. Somebody draw that out for me, because I can't wrap my head around it. Here's what I know. He said, y'all, it's good. I've done seen it. It's the right thing. Amen. It's a good place. It's the best. Woo. They say experience is the best teacher, and He's the only one that's experienced it. Yeah. Woo! The power of the construction form. I'm glad I'm going to a house that's built by God. Somebody say amen. 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 Woo. I could go on and on right here. I got to hurry up. Check this out. I said the promise of comforting faith, the power of the construction form. And then I want you to see the presently conflicted farewell. Look what he said right here in verse number 2. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Then look what he said. I go to prepare a place for you. Now I could preach 9.5 hours on that one word, place. Because hear me and hear me well. I'm real glad that there's many mansions in the Father's house. I'm real glad that it's big and nice and beautiful. Hey, listen, it's described to me in the book of Revelation, and there's things up there that I can't even wrap my mind around, like streets of pure gold that are so pure that you can see through them. That don't even make no sense to me. A gate that's big enough for God's people to go through, that's made out of a single pearl. Are y'all listening to me? It don't make no sense to me. Hey, listen, I'm glad that all of that is there, but I'm more glad this morning that there's a place for me. Hallelujah. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Here's what he did. Here's what he said. Check this out. Not only has he built the perfect dwelling, but somewhere in there, there's a little sign hanging on the door. And it says something like this, Scott's Place. I got a friend. Y'all listen to say amen. I'm going to be real careful right here. I got a friend, and their house is behind a locked gate. Well, there's a bunch of houses behind a locked gate. And at that gate, there's a little fella with a security guard outfit on. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And before we go visit them, I have to stop and talk to that security guard. And he has to look on his little list and see if my name's on the list. Because if my name ain't on the list, then I can't go in.
because this is not my place. There are certain people who have been designated to be able to get into that place. Hey, I'm glad when I get to heaven, my name's on the list. Hey, there's a place been prepared for me. Not an accident. It ain't going to be just because. There's not going to be a weighing in the balance of all my thoughts and wishes and hopes and dreams and sins and righteousness. It's going to be the reality of the fact that Jesus has prepared a place for me. The Bible says it's going to go like this. All the books are going to be open. I'm talking about the record of your sins and the record of your wrongs and the record of your righteousness and the record of your rights. Every little thing that's ever been done in your flesh, whether it be good or be evil. And then on top of them books, there's going to be another book open. I believe when it opens up, it's going to cover up all the other books. And that is the book of life, the record of those who have come to know Christ as their Savior. And the Bible says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And that means that if my name's in the book, then I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm here to tell you this morning, my name's in the book. I like that song, my name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. There's a conflicted farewell because he had to leave. Look at verse number 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you. Listen, that meant I'm out. I'm leaving. Y'all, he left. I understand. Jesus lives on the inside of me. Amen right there. Amen. The Spirit of God dwells within my heart. Amen right there. God's active in this world, no doubt about it. But Jesus in the flesh, he left. He left. He walked out on the hillside, the Bible says, and he ascended up. He's gone. Hear me right here. Here's what he said. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, stay with me, because this is where people start to get their theology twisted. Most bad Bible doctrine comes from trying to make something simple into something complicated. I'm serious. Most bad theology, bad biblical interpretation comes from somebody taking something that is plainly, simply shown and trying to make it complicated. When we're talking about end times theology, what about the rapture? What about the tribulation? All this thing. Hey, listen, it's right here, plain as day. Here, look what he said. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And then he said what he's going to do when he comes again. Look what he said. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Said, what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? That's going to happen. He said, when I come back, I'm coming to get you. And I'm taking you where I'm at. Paul said it like this in 1 Thessalonians 4, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Said, what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? He said, I'll tell you, that ain't my story to write. I'll just tell you what he said. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Look at this next phrase, whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. I'm coming to a close, but I want to give you this, the promise to Christ's followers. Here's what he told him. He said, and here's the best part. You already know how to get where I'm going. Mm-hmm. And some of y'all were thinking, wait a minute, I don't know. Well, that's the same thing Thomas thought. Look at the next verse. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? He said, hey, hold up, Lord. You're saying I know how to get there. I don't know where you're going. I don't even know where heaven's at. How am I supposed to know how to get from here to there? What is the way? Look what Jesus said. I love it that it's so simple. I get so sick to my stomach with this complex so-called religion that we have in this world. You gotta do this, do that. do go there, stand up, sit down, kneel down, do a flip, crawl on the floor, do the watermelon crawl, whatever it is they want you to do. Hey, look up here. Here's what he said. He gives three statements. He said, I am the way. The way. Not a way, not some way, not one of many ways. The way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. Here's what he said. Thomas said, I don't know how to get there. Tell me the way. Here's what Jesus said. Me. He said, hey, Thomas, you already know the way. He's standing right in front of you. I don't know how to get to heaven, preacher. You already know the way. I've been telling you about it for the last hour. Hey. He's standing right in front of you. He's shown himself to you. You know he's real. The promise to Christ's followers is that if we go through him, look what he said now. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. What does that tell me? That means that if I come by him, then I can go. Woo! Hey, listen to me now. I'm going to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ because I put my faith in the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, or I'm not going. That's the only way I'm getting there, is by him and through him. Hey, listen, I'm not hoping on something else. I'm not counting on myself. I'm not counting on some other option. I'm counting on him to get me in. Hey, and I'm glad to report this morning. Listen, he's still bringing them in. Amen.
Amen.
He said, I am the way. Some of y'all coming here this morning conflicted because you're looking for
a way to be happy, a way to have peace, a way to be able to sleep at night, a way to be healed. You're looking for a way out of a bad situation. A way in to the good life. You're looking for a way to fix all your problems. And you're looking for a way, listen, to get to heaven. And I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus is the way. He's the truth. You can trust him. He's the life. He's the only one that's still alive. He said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You know why I have life? Because he's alive. Won't you stand together? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Hunter's coming to the piano.